Welcome back to season three of the What Did They Know podcast. The guys once again are kicking off the season with their preseason divisional breakdowns and will discuss the NFC and the AFC West. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. Welcome back to season three. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. If you're watching on YouTube, hopefully you notice we got some... We got a new background. We got a new layout. We're in a different spot.
Whole new setting.
We upgraded some equipment. Hopefully, if you're hearing this, that means it worked.
Right.
Because we do not know what we're doing.
Right.
But we are pumped. We actually both have a mic now.
Yeah.
Which hopefully that by itself will...
We're just buying whatever's recommended at this point.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, we're
Amazon choice?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's buy it.
Right.
So,
we're just trying to upgrade to make the product better in general. Obviously, we're doing it for funsies and enjoying the content that we put out. But obviously, we want to make sure it's worthwhile for the people, our viewers, to also tune in every week to, I guess, a more progressive sort of feel. And, you know, we're always testing and doing different things here and there. But for this is definitely a step in the right direction for all of us, I feel like.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. So
we're not tech savvy, so.
Took the summer off. No episodes, no recordings, no talking about episodes. But now we're back.
Right.
How was your summer?
Oh, it was fantastic for like the first quarter of the baseball season, but then it went downhill real quick.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about baseball. Also, if you're watching, you can see I added to my collection this year of jerseys. Garrett Wilson, number 5. For those of you who know me closely, you know that I'm cursed when it comes to buying jerseys. So I still have the tag on this one because I'm not sure if Garrett Wilson will even survive the preseason since I decided to buy his jersey. So... that's what I got going on, but
you put the hammer on him, so we'll see if he survives. It's like, you're like the Madden cover at this point.
Yeah, I am. I'm like worse than the Madden curse, actually, now that you say that. But we both have new work schedules. I'm telling you, right in time for football season.
Yeah,
this is gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm starting day shift this week, 7 to 3:30 p.m. And so no longer night, so we'll do some Monday night football.
Yeah, it'll give us way more flexibility to record, plan out what we want to talk about. We won't have to wing it on Sunday nights like we normally do. So hopefully that turns out to be a better product for all of you. But enough of this crap. Let's jump in.
Right.
So if you've been with us the first two seasons, you know that the 4 weeks of preseason leading up to week one, we break down two divisions per week. And, you know, what's going on, what we're looking for, any storylines, any news, and then we pick the division winners and kind of go from there. So this week, as always, just like the first 2 years, we're starting with the NFC and AFC West. Do you have a preference on who we start with?
NFC, because that's the notes I have right now.
Okay, same. So we'll start in the NFC West, and in no particular order, I'll kick it off with San Fran. San Francisco 49ers. So they were 6-11 last year.
Yep.
A lot of injuries, a lot of storylines here as well. A lot of big names that you will not see on the Niners this year.
Yeah, I mean, they were just decimated by injuries last year. Last year, we predicted they were going to take a step back anyways, but to get just decimated by injuries, that just compounded onto it. And they just, I mean, they had a top, I feel like, top five offense. I think they were ranked fourth in total offense and then eighth in total defense. So it's not the performances were there. It confused me when I first saw those two stats, but then I looked at their turnover ratio, and that kind of proved what we all saw, and that's like a negative 10 turnover margin, and that's going to lose you a lot of football games, and that's what happened with San Francisco.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, McCaffrey couldn't stay healthy last year. Debo was out for a while. I believe George Kittle even had a couple games where he missed. Some big pieces on the defense were missing. They just never really could get it together.
Right.
Purdy looked like kind of I don't want to say a shell of himself, but he looked like a quarterback who no longer had an abundance of weapons, which is a big storyline considering they signed him to a massive extension this year or this offseason. And to do that, they had to part ways with a lot of big names. Debo Samuel, Devondre Campbell, Jordan Mason, Dre Greenlaw, Javon Hargrave. I think that those last two on defense are going to be big, big losses.
Mm-hmm.
They did re-sign Robert Saleh as their D coordinator.
Right.
So he was there for what, probably the better part of 4 or 5 years prior to going to the Jets. Say what you want about him as a head coach, he can coach defense.
Right. Absolutely.
So that should help, but he's going to have to kind of piece it together with some guys that are no longer there.
Right. Yeah. San Francisco being known for their defense is now dishing out the big quarterback money to Brock Purdy. I mean, five years, $265 million. That's no chump change, and that's a big portion of your cap space.
It is.
So it's definitely going to be a challenge for John Lynch, their GM, to make a roster out of the money that he has left after the Brock Purdy deal. Especially when you're letting all those veterans walk, both offensively and defensively. Obviously, we covered Debo going to Washington, but it's definitely going to put Kyle Shanahan in a precarious situation. He's definitely going to have to show out his coaching abilities after this offseason.
Yeah, I think that we're going to really know a lot about both him and Brock Purdy after this year.
Yep.
Because, I mean, now your playmakers are guys like Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, and hopefully Christian McCaffrey. I still, as I did last year, really don't have a high amount of faith that he's going to make it healthy for 17 games or 18 game season.
Right. Another year older.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm not buying in on that, but right. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, in the draft, they dedicated their first 5 picks to defense. So yeah, at least they have the plan to recuperate some of that talent that they lost defensively because of the deal. And maybe performance issues, but I mean, it's definitely going to be a long road back. I feel like it's not going to be a complete rebuild, especially if you're dishing out that sort of money for a quarterback. But it's definitely going to be, they are definitely in danger in my book, to be mediocre.
Agreed.
And around 500.
100% agree. And I think in part because, and we'll talk about it, I think the rest of the division, is better.
Yeah.
So jumping right in, you know, kind of a good transition there. I'll jump over to the Arizona Cardinals. 8-9 last year, missed the playoffs. They were one of those teams that you and I were both high on, going into the season. And really, if you watched any of their games, they were the scrappy team that you just did not want to play.
Yep.
I kind of feel like this is a make or break playoff or bust season for both Kyler Murray and Jonathan Gannon, their head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they definitely turned on the Jets after Kyler Murray came back from injury. What was it, an ACL tear that he was recovering from?
Yep.
Yeah, it took a little while to get him up to speed, but as soon as that offense got rolling, it showed what we thought was going to happen with Arizona. They were hovering around 500. They were in contention for a wild card spot for a little bit, but it's definitely a team in the right direction. I feel like every year it's been an improvement under Jonathan Gannon. But yeah, I agree with you. This is where you take that final step to be a playoff contender, and then you build off from there. You make yourself a destination where players want to go over free agency during the offseason, and then push you over the limit to become a Super Bowl contender. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting offense. It's going to be very dependent, I feel like, on Marvin Harrison Jr.'s development.
100%.
They haven't dedicated too much on the wide receiver outside of Marvin Harrison last year with the 4th overall pick, I believe. But Trey McBride took a huge step last year in his development, and he became a very locked-on target for Kyler Murray. So they have the pieces, but for me, they need Marvin Harrison to take that number one receiver role and solidify that role to make that offense as potent as it needs to be.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just look at the dude, he's jacked.
Yeah.
He put on like 15 pounds of muscle, I think he said.
Yep.
So he definitely dedicated the offseason to getting better. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about him. And on the defensive side, I've heard nothing but tremendous things about their second round pick, Will Johnson, cornerback out of Michigan. Everybody at the time said that he should have gone first round, but he had some
knee issues, I believe.
He had some health issues that people were concerned about, scouts were concerned about, which is why he fell to the second round.
Right.
But I know at the time the Cardinals were absolutely ecstatic that they landed him in the second round. So hopefully he kind of shores up that defense, because that was not a strength.
Right. Yeah.
And good good feel-good story they brought back Calais Campbell as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Go back to your roots type of thing. Yeah. I mean,
good veteran presence.
Yeah, their defense ranked 21st in total defense last year. It was not spectacular by any means, but they spent their first-round pick on a defensive tackle, Walter Nolan. So that should shore up any run deficiencies that they had last year. Will Johnson, obviously, as we talked about, second-round pick. Fell because of I believe it was the knee. The longevity issues was the main concern for a lot of teams apparently, and that should he should pair up well with Max Melton, who they drafted last year, and he's going to be a second year cornerback. So it's a young defense. It's going to be a growing defense. You're going to have some growing pains in there, but as we talked about the offense, it's going to go through the offense. If the offense can provide enough cushion for the defense to grow, then I think this can be a scary team in the long run.
Yeah, agreed. I'll just wrap it up. I expect them to be right there at the end of the season. Yeah. What that means, whether it's a division wild card spot, I truly do. I think that this is the year that they finally figure it out. I feel like last year they were kind of like going into the season, a feel good, like, oh, there's the Cardinals, a scrappy team. Mm. This year they're fully expected to make that jump.
Right.
So they have expectations this year, and I'm really excited to see, you know, kind of what they do with them.
Right.
All right. So jumping over to the Rams, 10-7 last year, lost to the Eagles in the divisional round. Mm-hmm. Big splashy signing here, kind of both ways, a departure and a signing. They let Cooper Kupp go.
Yep.
But then they compensated by bringing in Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what that looks like with Matt Stafford. I mean, I wrote down that basically the entire team depends on the health of Matthew Stafford.
Right.
He's battling an aggravated disc in his back right now, which sounds like it's been difficult. I was reading that he had to get an epidural. But I know one thing that was encouraging was Les Snead, the GM, made it a point to say, like, if this was the regular season, he would be playing.
Right.
So they're just, sounds like they're just being super cautious. But anytime you have a quarterback in his age group, with a back issue, is a little concerning. So hopefully he's able to get that cleared up before we go into the regular season.
Yeah, as we reach that age, we start to understand that back issues are no joke.
Yeah, we don't even play professional sports.
Yeah, we don't even do anything.
Contact sports. I mean, I think I have an aggravated disc from getting out of bed this morning. So,
it's definitely going to be all on Stafford. Obviously, Davante Adams is a nice get. I feel like Cooper Kupp definitely disappeared sometimes last year. So, and Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams, I feel like they're kind of similar in that their strengths are route running and separation at the turn of the route. But if Cooper Kupp is losing some of that edge, and if that's what the Rams were seeing, and they replaced it with Davante Adams, who I feel like still has that burst for sure. I think they might have upgraded there. So for the Rams, to be honest with you, it's Sean McVay. He's proven time and time again that he can coach. Anytime you have a doubt of his team, he can overcome it. I mean, you got a defense that's now led by Jared Verse.
Yeah.
So
who had a huge, like, a coming out party in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
Absolute stud.
Yep. So it's not like they're not depleted of talent or anything on either end. It's just going to be about health for that team. If they can remain healthy, they will definitely make a lot of noise. I would contend that they're definitely the favorites to win that division, to repeat an NFC West champions right there.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, wrapping up the NFC West with the Seattle. I almost literally just said Seattle Mariners, but I caught myself.
Right.
Seattle Seahawks, everybody.
Right.
So 10-7 last year, just missed the playoffs due to a tiebreaker with the Rams. Only reason they didn't make the playoffs. They have a lot of moving pieces this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically traded Geno Smith to the Raiders and then signed Sam Darnold in free agency,
mm-hmm.
both former Jet quarterbacks. Just going to throw that out there. traded DK Metcalf to the Steelers, and then they signed Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
So no DK Metcalf, no Tyler Lockett, the two foundational pieces of that offense for, gosh, I don't know how many years. But this is probably the biggest question mark for me in this division is this team.
Yeah, it's definitely a sort of transition, sort of passing of the phase sort of thing in Seattle that's happening right now.
It's a youth movement.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I'll read out the ranks. They were 14th and 14th in both offense and defense. They were consistent, if nothing else, to be honest with you. But Mike McDonald, I think he did well with what he had in Geno Smith. I think it was definitely a big resurgence in Geno Smith's career. Obviously, I think we both have our reservations about how far Geno Smith can get you in a playoff format anyway. But Sam Darnold, he had definitely a resurgence in Minnesota last year, and he's bearing fruit now, signing a 3-year, $100 million deal. So Seattle's not shying away, thinking they're still in contention to make some noise in the playoffs come January and February. But to me, it's gonna be. I feel like they're still gonna have the same identity. They're gonna run through Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah.
I can't see Sam Darnold taking over that offense to be a pass happy offense. I still feel like they're gonna have the same identity. It's just gonna be a bunch of new faces, but a bunch of new chemistry that needs to be connected. But at the end of the day, I think it's Kenneth Walker's team.
Yeah. I agree with that. The only other thing that I would say, and I'm going to kind of give away a piece of the next segment for me at least, is I think that the departure of Metcalf and Tyler Lockett paves the way for Jackson Smith and Jigba to have an absolutely stupid massive year. I think that he is going to – I mean, he was a stud last year with both of those guys around. It was clear that they were using – towards the end of the year – there was no secret he was the number one wide receiver.
Right.
And so I think now with both those guys gone, they brought in Cooper Kupp, but we kind of talked about he's getting up there in age. He's slowing down a little bit. Can he stay healthy? I think that Njigba, him and Walker are going to be the two pieces that have to carry this team.
Right, absolutely.
All right. So you want to do the division now or you want to wait till the end?
Fantasy-wise?
Oh, fantasy. Yeah, we forgot about that.
Oh, okay.
I meant the division rankers.
Okay, we can do the fantasy now. We could do
so
both.
So I'll just kind of go because I just gave it away. My must-have this year in the NFC West is Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, that's why I thought we were talking about fantasy because you were like, spoiler
alert. Yeah, no, I really think that I have huge expectations for him this year.
Right.
My sleeper, and I don't really know if this is a sleeper, but he's one of the guys that nobody ever talks about and consistently has – amazing years, and that's James Conner. I just forgot his name for a second. He's so good, I forgot his name. No, James Conner. I mean,
you're right. People do forget him.
He's a three-down back. I know they have Trey Benson in the background now, maybe stealing a couple carries. But he always has touchdowns. He always catches the ball. He always has a good run game. He's always that 15 to 20 point a week scorer. So he's my sleeper and my stay away. I'm gonna roll it back a second year. I'm staying away from Christian McCaffrey. I just don't have enough faith to invest a high draft pick in him.
Right.
And I just really I have major doubts about the Niners as a team as a whole this year.
Right.
So I'm staying away from McCaffrey again.
I think this is 2 years in a row.
And I was spot on last year, by the way.
You were. Yep. You picked up his unhealthiness.
Correct.
Yep. So my must-have is going to be Trey McBride. I feel like even if Marvin Harrison Jr. picks it up, I feel like Kyler Murray and Trey McBride definitely made a connection that's going to last a while. I feel like they definitely have the potential to be the number one tight end quarterback 100%. Duo in the league. So Trey McBride is definitely my must-have in this division. My sleeper, Trey Benson, to be honest with you.
Oh my God. Great. Great.
I've heard nothing but good things about Trey Benson. Obviously, James Conner has done nothing but be consistent, but he is getting up there in age for a running back. That is my one concern. He's been ran through quite a bit. I feel like a few thousand yard seasons under his belt. There's some wear and tear in those tires. I feel like Trey Benson, if anything happens to James Conner, will be a lightning rod for that team, and as we talked about earlier, that the potential for that offense can be astronomical with Kyler Murray.
Agreed.
And then stay away from, I don't want to say it, but Puka Nacua.
Really?
Yeah, just because of Matthew Stafford's health, we talked about.
It's such a big question.
I know.
Yeah.
And like last year with Cooper Kupp still there were times where Matthew Stafford would favor Cooper Kupp over Puka Nacua and then vice versa. And with Devontae Adams there, and me saying that, hey, Davante Adams is a better Cooper Kupp, all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, is there games where he focuses on Davante Adams exclusively and kind of ignore Puka Nacua like he did last year?
Also, not to cut you off, the Jets are winning the Super Bowl.
What just happened?
Justin Fields scramble, third down, opening touchdown drive. Everybody,
get him off the field right now.
That was an amazing first drive. If you guys are watching, you saw me looking to the right. It's because the Jets are on right now, and they just scored on the opening drive.
Yep.
So they're going to win the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, that's my stay away from it's hesitant, but it's there.
All right. Yep. I like it. So now just going 1 through 4 with the division.
Yep.
So for me, this is a big if, but as long as Matthew Stafford is healthy, I think that they are going to handle this division.
Right.
So I have the Rams 1. I have the Cardinals number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite honestly, for me, it was kind of a toss up Seahawks Niners, but I tend to think that the Niners have more question marks than the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So I went Seahawks 3, 49ers 4 this year.
Yeah, fair. I'm actually going to go with the Arizona Cardinals winning the division on this one.
I love it.
We were hyped up about them last year. I feel like Kyler Murray with a healthy offseason. Obviously, I love what they're doing on offense. So I got them winning that division. Maybe narrowly, maybe by a game.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a tight division.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight division race, especially with the Rams. But yeah, number 2, I got the Rams. And then number 3, I got the Seattle. And then 4th, the 49ers. I just don't, okay. There's just too many question marks with those two teams that yeah. You can flip flop them, and I wouldn't even bet an eye to be honest.
Yep. Agreed. All right. So jumping over to the AFC West in no particular order. Actually, technically, I think it's alphabetical order. I think that's how the website had it. But right. We're going to start with the Denver Broncos. Mm. 10-7 last year. Big improvement from years prior. Obviously, Bo Nix, Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Bills in the wild card round. I believe they snuck in as the 7th seed. It came down to the last week of the season. They had to beat the Chiefs, who did not play anybody.
Right.
I don't know. I think on paper, everything says that they should be very good this year.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, am questioning if Bo Nix is going to be the guy that we haven't really seen the last couple years take the sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that have had great first years, you talk about, McDaniels, you talk about, or Jaden Daniels, excuse me. The guy in Houston, CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud. Oh, my goodness.
He didn't really have a sophomore slump. He played decent. Is Bo Nix going to be the guy? Is Bo Nix going to be the guy to have that? I don't know. So I'm bullish on the Broncos this year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of inclined because of the Sean Payton thing. And I'll always say this. I love Sean Payton.
Yeah.
He can be very blunt and very adamant about certain things.
He's the guy that if he's on your team, you love him.
Yes.
If you're playing against him, you want to punch him in the face.
Absolutely. And yeah. I understand it. But I feel like if there's a quarterback head coach combo that I'm not that concerned about a sophomore slump, it's going to be anyone with Sean Payton. I feel like Sean Payton should.
That's true. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, reel in the quarterback position. I think he understands that position better than most coaches in the NFL. And defensively, they picked up Dre Greenlaw from San Francisco, so they've made improvements.
Yeah, that's a
everywhere.
That's a big pickup. And Evan Ingram, tight end. I love. That's a sneaky under the radar signing for me.
Yeah, I mean, bringing J.K. Dobbins, maybe a little bit of a flash right there at the running back position. And obviously, they had the reigning defensive player of the year in Surtain, Patrick Surtain, the third. So it's a defense that's well built at this point. I might say it's the best defense that Sean Payton has ever coached.
And I mean, a lot of like fantasy rankings have them as the number one fantasy defense.
Yeah,
like they are expected to have a tremendous year on mm-hmm. the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
Which who knows, might be the saving grace for Bo Nix if he does take that step back.
Right, right. Absolutely. And to be honest with you, obviously, whenever you associate Sean Payton, you do not associate defenses with it.
No.
But I feel like Vance Joseph is really taking a step as an elite defensive play caller there in Denver. And so, I mean, Bo Nix, Dobbins, and number one wide receiver, Courtland Sutton. I feel like he'd be better suited as a number two, but he definitely has flashes of a true number one. And to me, I feel like it's going to really depend on Bo Nix to elevate everyone else's play around him. This offense is definitely going to go around Bo Nix. It's not going to be like a San Francisco 49ers situation, Brock Purdy, where we've had this discussion numerous times where we feel like he's the product of everything around him. Bo Nix is going to have to show that he elevates everyone around him. He's going to have to be that multiplier. And I feel like Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims Jr. are going to benefit the rewards on there. And Evan Ingram, absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely.
All right, so switching gears over to the LA Chargers, 11-6 last year, sixth seed overall. No, five seed.
Five seed.
I don't remember.
They were 11-6.
Yeah, so I don't know, either five or six seed. And then they lost to Houston in the wild card round.
Right.
They signed Najee Harris. They signed Tyler Conklin. They signed Mekhi Becton on the offensive line. They just recently, I want to say what, two or three days ago, signed Keenan Allen, as a nice little reunion there, which I think is a sneaky, Keenan Allen can still play.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, he has the injury issue. He can never stay healthy, but he did last year and he had a decent year with Chicago. I don't really know why he was a free agent for as long as he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that signing for them, to kind of complement Ladd McConkey, who, by all means, had a huge coming out party last year. He's going to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to a quarterback that already knows you and 100%, Herbert.
100%.
I feel like he's going to be a really, really good slot receiver or set a number two receiver, wherever you want to put him at. I feel like he's definitely going to be a great compliment. Obviously, his wide receiver one days are probably way beyond him, but Ladd McConkey is definitely the guy to look out there for true production there. But, I mean, L.A., Jim Harbaugh, they're all about grounding and pounding you, building, bullying you around. So it's definitely a little bit more of a different taste, because I feel like whenever you think of Justin Herbert, you think of a passing attack that they're going to try to air it out with you. But I feel like the more you protect Justin Herbert from getting into those games, which I feel like, no offense to Justin Herbert, but I feel like he's proven that he can't necessarily win all those games.
At least by himself.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah. I think that this team is definitely on the up and up. 11-6 was a tremendous year for this team last year. Will they repeat the same record? It's hard to say, but I think they'll definitely be in the neighborhood. I don't think they're going to drop off by any means.
Yeah, and I mean, all this talk about Denver's defense, people forget, including myself, until I was doing research for our show, that the Chargers had the number one defense last year.
Yeah.
And that's something that you would never associate with the Chargers in the past.
Right.
Something you associate with Jim Harbaugh, but never with the Chargers as an organization. So, I mean, who knows? They did let Joey Bosa. They released him. He signed with the Bills. So we'll see what happens there, if that makes a big impact or not. But, I mean, by all accounts, I think that this team is just continuing to go up.
Money. I like it.
All right. Moving over to our favorite team.
Oh, no.
The Kansas City Chiefs. said with a great deal of sarcasm for anybody who may just be tuning in for the first time. I'm so sick of talking about this team. All right. 15-2 last year. They obviously lost. They got crushed in the Super Bowl, which was great to see. Are they finally going to have an off year? Is that going to be a thing, or are they just going to continue to be this dominant team? I think they will, just because this is the best the division has been in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, I mean, granted, they had two other playoff teams in their division last year, but I think those teams are going to elevate.
Yeah.
So the Chargers, the Broncos, maybe not the Raiders so much, but, I don't know. I just it's got to happen at some point.
You'd think. I mean, I feel like they had a flimsy year last year and they still won 15 games.
15-2.
Yeah, 15-2.
They didn't even play. It was the worst 15-2 team. We were saying that all season.
Yep.
It's the worst 15-2 team we've ever seen.
Yep. And like, as an NFL fan, you understand that the Chiefs have this certain, like, I guess, aura or magic around them, especially come the playoffs, and somehow they just find ways to win, regardless of how it happens, whether it's a magical play by Mahomes, or if it's a questionable call down the line, regardless of what it is, they find a way to win. And at 15-2, their average margin of victory was a touchdown. Like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You if you flip all those one score games around, all of a sudden,
we always say that, right? Yeah. It always catches up to you.
Yep.
So maybe this will be the year where it'll catch up to him. I would love to see that.
Yeah. It's hard to envision. You can be as creative or as imaginative as you want to be. But with Andy Reid as still there as head coach, Patrick Mahomes still there, Travis Kelce still there. I feel like you can just put any receivers on the field and they'll somehow put up production, put up 800 yards, five TDs each, and off they go. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco's still there at running back. Yeah. It's just one of those things where it defies logic in a way, and regardless of how you want to explain it, or you can't, and it just sort of happens. And unfortunately for a lot of other of these other teams in the AFC, like the Baltimore Ravens or like the Buffalo Bills, I feel like as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, it gives them an edge, at least mentally. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is definitely an obstacle mentally for a lot of these teams at this point in his career. I mean, this is what, year 8 or something in that neighborhood?
It feels like year 20.
It feels like year 20. It definitely does. But it's definitely one of those things where you can never write Kansas City off. Even with the elevation of Denver in L.A., Kansas City, I feel like, is still probably leading the pack there in the AFC West, unfortunately.
Yeah, one thing that was really surprising when it happened, and it still is now, that I wrote down, is they traded Joe Tooney, Pro Bowl left guard, mm-hmm. I believe he's left tackle, to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know that I understand that for Kansas City. I mean, obviously I understand it for Chicago, good on them.
Mm-hmm.
But why you trade one of your best, if not the best, offensive linemen,
mm-hmm.
I don't really know the thought process behind that. So I don't know, maybe that's just them getting too cute and thinking that they know best and nothing's gonna hurt them.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's a contract situation where, I mean, obviously you're paying Patrick Mahomes a lot of money. I mean, it's money he's worth. He's won a couple Super Bowls. They signed Jalen Moore as an offensive tackle during the offseason. It's just going to be one of those things where, yeah, maybe there is a mentality where you can just plug and play as long as you have Patrick Mahomes. I feel like at any time that can burn you. I feel like they're an injury away from being a very, very mediocre team.
I mean, said every fan for the last, like, 5 years. So,
says the rest of America in unison.
Hashtag, what do they know? All right. Finishing up the AFC West with the Las Vegas Raiders. They also had a very, very busy offseason. Out with Antonio Pierce, in with Pete Carroll, the ageless Pete Carroll. Still probably in better shape than both you and
yes,
I. For sure. 100%. So, yep. Good on him. They traded for Geno Smith, as we talked about earlier when we were going over the Seahawks. They drafted Ashton Jeanty 6th overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to expect with the Raiders. I don't think that they're going to be very good. Actually, I wrote this down, and this is a genuine question. Who is Geno throwing the ball to?
Jacoby Myers.
That's right. Okay, so that kind of answers my question. Like, okay,
the one and only.
Jacoby Myers, that's it.
That's all I got.
That's all he's got. Okay, next.
Oh, he's got a Brock Bowers as well, tight end.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Brock. Okay, all right.
You get a little bit of a pass.
All right. That's fine. Brock Bowers was a beast last year. Yes. I totally forgot about him. So that was one thing. I'm like, who the freak is he throwing the ball to?
I mean, Jacoby Myers is nothing to like write home about for a wide receiver one. But I mean, Brock Bowers is definitely your tight end one. It's just going to be a thing where I feel like, as a defense, you know it's going to come. It's Brock Bowers. It's a Brock Bowers show.
Yeah.
Especially Geno Smith, who I feel like who develops nice connections with tight ends throughout his career. So I definitely see some potential there. But the thing is, I feel like it's also a potential nuclear situation where nuclear situation where defenses are know who to cover. Yeah. And unfortunately it's going to be Brock Bowers getting maybe double teamed throughout the entire season at this point.
Yeah. Also super weird story, which we're not going to get into much detail, is they randomly cut Christian Wilkins. I mean, you can read and Google why apparently he got cut. Apparently he was a little too friendly
that's one way to put it.
With some of his coworkers. If you've ever seen Remember the Titans,
it was a
sunshine situation, and he got the boot, which is really weird because he's a really good defensive talent.
Yep.
But that was just bizarre. So I don't know what to say there other than that's definitely going to hinder their defense.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't really have much to say positive about the Raiders, honestly. I mean, they could be the team that surprises me this year. There's always one or two. But I don't really have high hopes for them.
I mean, last year, I'm pretty sure I asked the question of, like, what are they doing? I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I still run into that question. I don't know what they're doing. Obviously, they traded for Geno Smith. Like, is that your answer to a quarterback?
Well, it all seems like a temporary Band-Aid. Yeah. I mean, Pete Carroll, how many more years is he going to coach?
Yeah.
Two? Three? Geno, I mean, I think they traded for him, and then I want to say, did they sign him to an extension?
I believe so.
I want to say, but even that was short-term, two, three years.
It's
almost like this is just a stopgap for the next couple years, and then they're going to just figure it out.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas, people are going to show up regardless because it's Vegas.
Yeah.
So they have that going for them, but I really don't think that they're going to put a great product on the field.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ashton Jeantine, to be honest with you. Sixth overall, and to be put in that situation, and you're going to be the workhorse, but I feel like there's going to be no compliment at all to you. It's going to be, you're going to have to make some runs by yourself.
And
I'm not sure if he's that sort of running back.
Not only that, but they did sign Raheem Mostert, who I think, give it 5 or 6 weeks, it would not surprise me if he takes over as a number one. He's so fast.
Hot take.
I mean, look at what he did in Miami. I know he ended up getting overtaken, but he's a talent.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Raiders. Okay. moving on. So we are going to wrap up with the fantasy perspective of the AFC West. I'll let you go first this time since I went first last time.
Oh, you're giving me the grand honor, huh?
Yep.
Okay, my must have is Ladd McConkey. I mean, I feel like the Justin Herbert Ladd McConkey situation is prime. It's definitely there. I mean, it's what, year two of Ladd McConkey?
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be one of those things where it's just chemistry is just going to grow. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh is more of a ground and pound type of guy, but J.K. Dobbins, I feel like he's shown that he can't last an entire season being that sort of running back, unfortunately. So I feel like to take some pressure off of the running back position, I feel like they're going to maybe split it 50-50 or maybe 60-40 passing wise. And even with Keenan Allen and Evan Ingram, I feel like Ladd McConkey is definitely going to be the beneficiary of that fantasy-wise.
Yep, I agree.
Stay away from – I got Patrick Mahomes. I'm not touching anything with Kansas City, to be honest with you. At this point, I feel like they know how to win.
That's a bold take. That's like my Christian McCaffrey take.
He wasn't that solid last year, I feel like, in fantasy-wise.
No, he wasn't.
And
nothing about the Chiefs were solid except their record.
It becomes one of those situations where the team knows how to win, but it's very ugly fantasy-wise. Like, fantasy-wise, you don't expect a lot of points from any consistency.
I feel like they've become the Patriots, where it was like you never draft a Patriots running back because you never know what you're going to get. You never draft anybody on the Patriots besides Gronk.
Yeah, but you knew exactly that the Patriots were going to win 13 games a year. And then for my sleeper, it could be a sleeper. I mean, it's a little bit obvious, but Cortland Sutton in Denver.
I thought about him as well.
Yeah, I feel like he's not – I don't think he's the true number one. I think he'd be probably top three wide receiver twos if they found someone a little bit better than Cortland Sutton to implement in that offense. But as a wide receiver one, he'll definitely get the bulk of those targets from Bo Nix. And I think Bo Nix shouldn't fall into the trap of the sophomore slump.
Okay.
Yep.
I like it. So you and I were kind of in the same wavelength for breakout or must have. I just wrote Chargers receivers.
Ooh, nice.
Because I think that, and I talked about it a little bit, I think Keenan Allen is going to have a very good year.
Yeah.
I think the combination of him and Ladd is going to be deadly.
Yep.
Even though we just went on about how they're a ground and pound team, I think that when Justin Herbert has to throw the ball, he's shown that he can.
Yeah.
And both of these guys have shown what they can do.
Yep.
So I think kind of take your pick. And you really can't go wrong.
Right.
Stay away. I wrote Ashton Jeantine. I just don't have faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
On the Raiders, I just don't think that he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to have a tough rookie season. So I'm staying away from Ashton Jeantine. And then my sleeper is Evan Ingram. I think that he is going to have a very good year. He is going to quickly become he had a great couple years with a good quarterback in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing's going to happen in Denver. I think that he is quickly going to have a very good relationship with Bo Nix, and yeah. I expect big things out of him.
Yeah.
So he's my sleeper.
Yeah, by the way, I said J.K. Dobbins in L.A. He was there last year. It's Najee Harris.
Yeah.
So same thing applies, though.
It's okay. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
No, all right. Nope, so perfect. Who do you have in second? Because we already know who's winning the division.
Unfortunately, yes. I think we both have KC winning division. I got Denver in second.
Okay.
I'm a believer. I'm a Bo Nix believer. I'm a Sean Payton believer. I'm a believer in everything the Denver Broncos are doing right now. So I got them in second. Chargers in third. I don't think there's going to be much separation between Denver
and
LA. I feel like that's going to be a game max, to be honest with you. It's going to be right there. And then obviously the Raiders fighting for the number one overall position, I feel like.
Over under 5.5 wins for them.
For the Raiders?
Yeah.
Under.
You think under?
Under.
I think that's the number for me is 5.5. I think that it wouldn't surprise me if they win 6. Wouldn't surprise me if they win 5 or less. Mm. I think that that's going to be where they're at, personally.
Yeah, I'd go under.
So for me, Chiefs 1. I have the Chargers number 2. I think the Chargers are going to have a really good year. I think that they could potentially battle the Chiefs for the division. It took everything in me not to put them number 1. So...
You just got to see it to believe it type of thing at this point with Kansas City. Yeah.
I mean, nobody, and it's a safe pick, right? You can't, nobody's going to blame you for putting the Chiefs first.
Right.
When it's all we've seen for the last decade, it seems like. So Chiefs 1, Chargers 2, Broncos 3, and then obviously the Raiders in the basement. So,
yep.
All right. We're off and running.
Perfect.
Episode 1 in the books.
Episode 1, season 3.
Next week, we will continue our divisional breakdowns leading right up to week 1.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing, the north or the south?
I think we're doing the north.
We're going to do the north. Okay, AFC North, NFC North. A lot of big teams there, a lot of big names that we'll break it all down. And again, just like last year, as we post, like, follow, subscribe on all social media channels. And if you guys have any topics that... you want us to cover, or any questions or anything that you want our takes on, just let us know, and we'll be happy to go over it.
Yeah, well, we're obviously making improvements, so we're
trying
all
at least. We're trying at least. Yeah, this is all for you.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
For you.
Yep.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed, and hopefully this comes through. Honestly, yep. I mean, when I hit stop record, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. So, but hope you guys enjoyed, and as always, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see
you. We want to hear from you. Send in your questions, comments, and frustrations weekly to give the guys something to talk about. Make sure to follow us on our social media pages, and thanks for listening to the What Do They Know podcast.